Last time on Culture File, we were talking with the composer Sean Clancy about The Will to Count and about music that hands over the reins to its performers. Well, this time we follow that conversation where it will go, to the political possibilities of collaborative creativity, the relative values of bread and circuses, and the task of listening to as much new music as humanly possible.
The most successful things generally come from collaboration, don't they? You know, even if one person does kind of take the lion's share of responsibility for them, most things are a collaborative effort. And I think the interesting thing happens is when you start foregrounding that as a process, that you don't just take it for granted that there is going to be a collaborative thing happening here, but that you're actually foregrounding it and you're purposely observing the collaborative process and what impact each individual has in that.
That's the thing that sort of is exciting about, you know, a kind of a moment when collaboration is given more credence and centrality, is that you kind of wonder, does that feed backwards into the world that we make? You know, it must feed backwards into the sound of the music we make, but, you know, then what else is possible?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I remember talking to one of my colleagues, and we were kind of, there was some kind of heated discussion between the students about, you know, what they were going to do for their project. And my colleague just turned to me and he said, look, if they can't decide what colour to paint the wall, how are we going to decide, you know, how food should be distributed, or how these much bigger problems that exist in society? Now, obviously, art is a very, it's essential, you know, we need it as much as we need food. So I don't want to kind of say that it's not as important as food, but the idea that if you can solve problems as a community in an artistic piece, then there's potential that you can solve a slightly larger problem. And then if you can solve that slightly larger problem, there's potential that you can solve this much bigger problem, you know, a little bit further down the line. What's interesting, I think, about collaboration or collaborative practice, having a little bit more foreground in artistic areas, is that conversely what's happening in society is people are becoming more insulated and we're becoming less open to the other. You know, it's basically, oh, if you don't completely agree with this thing that I think, then you're kind of my opposite. If you think this way, then it's wrong or it's evil or whatever. And people don't listen as much as maybe we did in the past. And maybe this is kind of a way out of it. Maybe if we have a generation of people who are trained in collaborative practices or have engaged in collaborative practices for a number of years, that maybe in 10 years from now, there's a realization that, yes, it is difficult to do things together, but we kind of have to.
You're quite sort of concerted and dogmatic even in the way you consume new music. Like, you're really determined to consume only what's new and move on and try and cover everything.
Yeah.
Tell us about the process there.
Basically, the way I look at it is that there's so many people making music and making really great music. I think, like, you know, it's so cliche, but it's a golden age of music, you know. There's so much fantastic music out. So I basically try, this again kind of goes with my counting situation. I buy probably about 12 to 15 albums a month, usually from Bandcamp, but sometimes in record shops. And if there's something I really kind of want on record, I'll kind of get it from a shop. And then I put it on a playlist that goes on my phone. And I listen basically to an album five times. There's a kind of set thing. So it'll go, you know, album A, album B, album C, album D, one play, album A, album B, one play. And I'll do that five times. And then basically things move in and out of rotation on the playlist. So it's the playlist has got about 50 hours of music. And I think I probably listen to music for about 10 or 11 hours a day. I feel that it's, you know, it's my responsibility to do this. You know, it's my responsibility to know what other people are doing, how, first of all, just to kind of hear and see what's out there and kind of celebrate it, but also how I fit into this conversation. You know, again, it's that kind of idea of we're involved in a communal process, even if we're not actively working together on a project, you know. And it's just really exciting to hear what's going out there. And it's just because there's so much out there and algorithm takes care of so much listening habits, you kind of have to fight against that a little bit. It's tricky, you know. Again, this is one of the things, you know, the more we can support each other as musicians and artists and creators and composers, whatever, the better the kind of musical ecosystem is, you know.
And there was a Bette Davis film that involves a violinist, and he's chatting with Bette Davis at some stage, and he says, "Oh, I never go to concerts." Why not? Well, you know, if they're better than me, then I'd be jealous, and if they're worse than me, then I'd be angry. And that's kind of like, I roughly feel that what everybody else is doing is kind of like slightly disturbing in one way or another.
Yeah, like I really love what everybody else is doing, you know. It's one of the very finest things about music is that it's a situation where you can kind of get inside somebody else's head for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 45 minutes or however long the piece is. You're really kind of getting a sense of what this person is about, you know, and how they experience the world. That's, you know, why I love it so much. You know, it's that sense of really experiencing the other, because I think often we're reserved, not everybody, but some people are reserved about their actual thoughts. You know, they obfuscate their thoughts, you know, or they play around, you know, they don't quite say what they mean all the time. You know, there's some people that are not like that. They're the complete opposite. But my experience with people generally is that you never get the full picture. There's always something that's kind of held off or held back, you know, and whether that's, you know, people have a sunny disposition and they kind of keep the darkness out, you know, or the opposite, or, you know, there's a piece of people that you never fully understand or fully get. But music is kind of the exception to that rule. I think when you hear a piece, you get a sense of what that other person's experience of the world is. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, that's a really great thing. It's why it's so important for us all.
That was Sean Clancy there. And if you'd like to get started on listening to every single piece of new music ever released, his latest is Four Sections of Music Equally Divided. And it's in all the streaming places.